the beginning of our parsha, in fact, the last few psukim of the first aliyah, we confront one of the more shocking and difficult sections in the entire Torah, and that is the Ben Sorer Umoreh, the rebellious and disobedient child. The Torah describes this shocking phenomenon in which a child, a young teenager, steals from his parents and uses that money to buy meat and wine and ravenously eats the meat and guzzles the wine, and it gets so bad that his parents then bring him to the Beis Din. They testify about his rebellious behavior, and seeing that there is no hope for a better future, the Torah describes the shocking conclusion of this episode in which the community, the Beis Din, the whole community, stone the child to death in order to cleanse the community of this evil, ubiyar tahara mikirbecha, and to make sure that a message is sent out to the entire community, far and near, that this is not behavior that we would ever encounter, and to warn parents, presumably, to hopefully do better with their own children. As I said, this is really a painful, shocking, and some might even say troubling section in the Torah. And it's not a surprise, therefore, that the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin on Daf Ayin Aleph tells us, regarding this Ben Sorer Amora, lo hayav lo asid lios, there never was, there never will be a Ben Sorer Amora. It's comforting on the one hand, because the Parsha itself is so difficult. On the other hand, it begs the question, well, if there never was and never will be a Ben Sorer Amora, why do we have a section in the Torah devoted to it? To which the Gemara itself answers that it's in order to provide us an opportunity of more material to learn and therefore receive reward. Now, certainly on a simple level, this could be understood, and I think this is true, that the more psukim you have in our Parsha, the more dapim you have in the Gemara. Masechta Sanhedrin has pages of Gemara that deals with this section. That's more opportunities for Torah study, which means more opportunities for reward. However, in a brilliant insight, Rav Shimshon Riffel Hirsch suggests that there's actually a much deeper message. That if you want to know what there is drosh, what should we study so that we can be makabel schar, really what it's telling us is we can learn from all the mistakes that must have taken place in the Ben Sorer Amora, and we can kind of reverse engineer and say, well, let's learn from this tragedy what was done wrong there, so we can learn what we can do right. How can we be a better parent? We can learn from the failures of the Ben Sorer Amora. In other words, says Rav Hirsch, the psukim here are in themselves a rich source of pedagogic truths and teachings that will benefit parents if we mine them and if we look at them through that proper lens. And I think this is really an incredible paradigm shift and a brilliant insight of Rav Hirsch, because it takes what would otherwise be an inexplicable, shocking, and even painful section of the Torah and gives us another way of looking at it so that we can actually learn and be uplifted and hopefully become better parents and community leaders from learning the messages and lessons of this section. So I want to share with you briefly three specific points that Rav Hirsch makes in the context of our psukim. Number one, he quotes the Gemara also in Sanhedrin, Daf Samaches, that tells us that the whole phenomenon of Ben Sorer Amora would only exist if this behavior and his reporting about him to the Beit Din took place within the first 3 months after his bar mitzvah. In other words, says Rav Hirsch, you see, the Torah is identifying that this is a very critical time. At the moment of the first steps that he is taking as a Jewish man, the first quarter of a year after he has turned bar mitzvah, it's specifically then when the future will be determined in some sense. At the very moment, says Rav Hirsch in the German translated into English, which a typical young male is being filled with awakened sensuality, it's dafka then, says the Torah, where we are expected as parents to break through and provide a good guidance and put the young man on the right track. In other words, what Rav Hirsch is saying is that if you have a solid foundation, there can be one step forward, two steps back, no one's perfect, and we can help the child. However, if this first few months after he's become an adult, reached the age of Jewish maturity, if that is rotten, so when you have a rotten core, when you have a bad foundation, then you can be sure that the future will also be bad. It's only if you have a good foundation that we have a fighting chance, despite the natural challenges and ups and downs of life, that ultimately good will prevail. And of course, the message for us is to identify and to realize as parents and as community leaders that, in fact, there are stages of a child's life which are more critical than others because they are tone setters. Those early stages after the bar mitzvah, and I would say, if we're gleaning this for larger messages, It's equally true for a girl as well. Those early stages after the bas mitzvah, those are crucial, crucial times in a child's life. And more broadly, there are other stages, other beginnings, which are tone setters, which we have to be especially sensitive to as parents. Secondly, says Rav Hirsch, the pasuk says that when the parents come to the Beis Din, they say that the son, their son is einenu shomea bikolenu. He did not listen to our voice. And Rav Hirsch highlights the fact that the Torah did not say that the parents say einenu shomea l'kol aviv, l'kol imo, but rather not that it's to the mother or the father, but he didn't listen to our voice. And Rav Hirsch sees this as an allusion to the fact that the parents have to speak with a unified, single message to their parent, to their child. Only then do we have a real good chance of having successful, raising our children successfully. But if the parents are giving mixed messages, they hear one thing from Aviv and one thing from Imo, then one could certainly not say that it's the child's fault to be confused and, God forbid, become religiously astray. Again, there are no guarantees, but says Rav Hirsch, we're learning good practices, and it has to be kolenu. It doesn't mean the parents have to agree on every matter, but they have to figure out a way to present a united front and show one voice to their children. And third, and lastly, Rav Hirsch notes that the Torah describes the behavior of this boy is zolel v'sovei. He is ravenously eating meat and guzzling wine. And this highlights, says Rav Hirsch, that the problem that's considered so irredeemable is the animal-like desire for material pleasures. And especially at this age, which sets the tone for the future, it is this what the Torah thinks is irredeemable. Not necessarily bad hashkafa, not putting on tefillin one day, as bad as something like that would be, but rather the animal-like desire for material pleasures. It says, first, we should learn from this as parents, that especially when we have children of an impressionable age, not to make good eating and drinking the important item at home, but rather we have to show passion for religious ideals and not passion for the zolo v'soveya, the material items of life.